And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, downtown Slashville. We are in Pete and Terry's Tavern here on the back end of Bridgestone Arena, and tonight this is going to be the site for the first game of the regular season, and it happens to be at home. In fact, the first four games are going to be at home, but tonight it'll be the Predators and the Minnesota Wild. We got a lot of things to get into today. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick.
What's up?
Yeah, you got a little bit of a mouthful, don't you?
No, yeah. I do not.
Chase McCabe.
Happy opening day. Happy playoff day for the Braves. How's it going, Nashville?
Oh, wow. Sneak in a little Brave stuff
for
there.
Those of us that have teams in the playoffs, time congratulations.
Time to chop.
A lot of people feel they're going to get chopped.
They're not going to get chopped. They'll be all right. I have faith.
The A's thought they were going to be all right last night, too.
Yeah, well.
Man, the dingers, man. They're going out. Like it's amazing. So how many? Seven home runs in the two wild card games combined? I mean, par for the course, I guess, yeah. for the regular season. So you better get that
Diaz
long
had
ball
two,
going.
Two alone.
Yeah. Well, the Rays hit four.
Yeah.
They scored six runs. They had four dingers. They're not. Are they known for like who is Reggie Jackson? Is Babe Ruth? Is Hank Aaron?
Hey,
on the
don't be
on
ripping
the Rays?
On Tommy Pham.
That's what I'm saying. I
yes,
mean, the,
fam.
Yandy Diaz. Did you even know who
Diaz
was?
We could definitely not stump people with their roster.
Everybody can hit it out. Just that will be the theme of the playoffs. Everybody can hit it out.
Wait till we get to the Yankees Twins,
man.
Telling we
you.
Haven't started that series.
We haven't
yet.
Even started that one.
Good luck with seeing a single in that game.
Yeah. We should start going nuts if somebody has a hit-and-run single and gets guys going from first. It
won't
happen.
Know what the announcers would tell
what
everybody
that?
What's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah. You just don't see that anymore. Why try to steal a base? Just sit back and play home run derby. That's all it is.
Well, I haven't even looked. Who led baseball in steals this year, and what was the number?
Malik Smith. 46.
46. That's actually higher than I would have guessed.
46.
I would have probably said hovering around 40, low 40s.
Yeah.
Less 46. That's what it is today. I mean, that's your standard. That's your gold standard for stealing bases in today's game. 46.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not even that. It's like there's just so few guys that even have 20.
That's a fourth of the season. That's
right.
That's a stolen base in a fourth of the season.
Right. But it's
essentially.
Like 46 is still not that bad, but it's just like there's so few people that even get 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got 15 homers. I mean,
right.
Part-time players, 15 homers, easy. Sometimes 20. Regular players playing first base, if they don't have 30 homers, you're like, what's going on? They don't have any power.
Yeah. They're in a slump.
Back in the day, if you had 20 homers, you're like, hey, man, he's got power, 20 homers. Yeah. If a shortstop had 10 homers, you're like, oh, my gosh, our shortstop's got 10 homers.
Right.
We've got power. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
That's not the case anymore.
You know who didn't have home runs or stolen bases this year? Chris Davis. He didn't. He had a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, he dropped off.
He didn't have any home runs.
Dropped
he
always, off?
Home
that's,
runs.
That's a good way to put it.
Dropped off like a cliff, like a mountain, Mount Everest. What? I mean, what does he make, about $30 million a year? Yeah. What? Drop off, that's being
Wait,
nice.
Which Chris Davis are you talking about?
Orioles.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the A's Chris Davis.
No. I'm talking about the Orioles, who gets paid, you know, when he signed a $160 million contract.
Yeah. Well, it just shows you now that if you only hit homers, you're
Yeah, but he didn't do that. He hit 12.
Yeah, you're a dime a dozen.
He
batted
179
Yeesh.
This year.
Well, the A's also have a Chris Davis who has been very consistent but dropped off this year. So the A's went cold at the wrong time. You look at the A's over the years, they just never seem to – they just never do it in the playoffs. Just never. They get there
I told you yesterday.
They get
I told you yesterday.
They never do it.
They have been horrible in the spot.
Golly, it's bad.
They cannot win. By
I
the way, they had a great crowd, great atmosphere.
Oh, 50-something thousand.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And they never got going.
Could not get anything
so
going.
So now, when the Rays get to host their home games, I'm hoping they'll – Tampa, hello? Will you go to the game? I assume they will for the playoffs, right?
They will.
They can really change it. I think they'll respond for the playoffs.
So they had on the beach, they had a watch party.
Did they?
For the Rays' final game and had a ton of people out on the beach watching.
A ton.
No, they really were.
A ton of people.
I don't know. I didn't weigh them all, but maybe they could be a ton.
If you weighed them all, would they weigh a ton?
I don't know. I'd like to find out now.
There was that many people there?
That's a good science question for the classes down there on the beach.
If they were all standing on scales watching the Rays, would they weigh a ton?
Look, there were a few out there that had their shirt off that probably needed to put a shirt on and could have helped that along.
Okay. You said a ton, and I'd love to know the
don't
beach,
you know the expression
the beach watch yeah. party for the Rays, what that was.
Darren's getting all literal on it.
Yeah.
Apparently,
science classes.
No,
they're learning about tons.
I'm really curious.
Have you been going over, a ton is 2,000 pounds, and a mile is,
when I think of
feet.
The Rays watch party, the only thing that weighs a ton down there is, the stadium. I can't imagine any, their games this year, I saw their games
Well, we've been there.
We have. Anyone here?
We had fifth row seats, and we look in front of us. Nobody's in the first row. Okay, we're going to move up.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad. But, yeah, they'll show up for the playoffs. They will. But I don't know. I'll say this. No drama last night.
My biggest takeaway from that city, though, was you had a handful of the Rays fans that were feeling it, but they're all in for the Lightning. There were buildings with giant lightning bolts hanging on it and go bolts and all that. I mean, they're all about Tampa Bay Lightning. So,
well, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they are the best team of the pro teams that they have there.
They are pretty good. We will have a pair of tickets to give away for tonight's game. Yep. This is what you have to do. If you're down in this area or planning on coming downtown to eat lunch, or if you are listening to us at your workplace right now downtown and you're looking for a spot to pop into and have a bite to eat, this is your place, Pete and Terry's Tavern. You can come in here. You have to be present to sign up. You don't have to be present to win, but you will have to physically walk yourself in here. Grab a pen. We've got a registration box here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Sign up to win, and at 12:45, we will draw a name. And that lucky winner is coming to the game tonight.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Tonight.
So you've got until 12:45, to get into Pete and Terry's Tavern here on Demumbrian and sign up. And like I said, hopefully you'll stick around because they've got lunch specials, $12.50 for a burger and a beer. Happy hour will be a little bit later from 3 until 6, but they've got $5 domestic draft, $6 craft draft, and $7 specialty cocktail. Plus, I want to remind anybody who's coming to the game tonight, remember to follow the policy, the new clear bag policy. So if you want to look that up, you can go to BridgestoneArena.com under the Arena Policies tab because they have changed that around a little bit, and you might want to check it out if you are indeed coming to the game. Okay, chance to win tickets. I don't know what else. I don't know what else we can do to get you to come to Pete and Terry's Tavern.
I tweeted this out of what you need to do to win tickets, and at President says he would like to win. I don't think he's eligible.
Well, and I think he's already set.
Yeah,
I
don't think he needs tickets. I think he's got them. But I appreciate his response to my tweet.
That was nice. I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun tonight. I think there's a lot of curiosity. I think there's been a lot of anticipation. We've seen the response from the fans in the preseason home games, and those didn't even count. So tonight, I think there's going to be just off the charts energy tonight for an opener. It's going to be great. Hopefully, the guys will play well and oblige. Some exciting games last night.
Yeah.
The Blues and the Capitals.
We'll save it. We'll save all that.
Later,
next segment. Jackie Redmond from NHL Network.
Isn't that a good segue?
Will join us on the other side. Indeed, we will talk about what happened last night. The NHL did drop the puck, and those games counted. We'll get into all that and more with Jackie Redmond from the NHL Network next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget, today at high noon, we will be making our silly underdog picks. We will review last week's picks. We will make our picks this week. It's a new week. You, the listeners, get to make three selections. I wish we could make three. Maybe our chances would be better for a winner.
Do you?
I don't know. I'm losing faith. I'm so losing faith. Hey, weekly winners every week to an upcoming sporting event or concert here in town. Go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play with us. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So keep that in mind coming up at noon today. Let's say hello and good morning to Jackie Redmond, who is a part of NHL Network. She does great work there. And, of course, you can watch Jackie today on NHL Now. Well, I have downtime in between the show and the Predators game tonight. I check out NHL Now all the time. She'll be on there starting at 3 p.m. Central today. And you can go to NHLNetwork.com for your local channel listings. Jackie, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy hockey season, you guys. And your check's in the mail for everything you just said about how great our show is.
All right. I hope it has a lot of zeros after that first number.
Yeah, there's just no number before zero. It's all zeros.
Yeah, probably. 0.0, right?
Well, you put as many zeros as you want there.
Well, Jackie, I'll tell you what. As we sit here in downtown Nashville, it certainly feels like the start of the hockey season. We've been averaging about 99 degrees every day. So it certainly feels like hockey weather outside.
Listen, as a Canadian, that sounds extremely foreign to me.
You're like, I don't understand. What do you mean 99 degrees?
Yeah, I was like, I cannot compute this. I don't know what this means.
What could you compute last night with what you saw? Let's start in St. Louis. Let's start in the Predators division. The Blues, the defending Stanley Cup champs, hosting the Washington Capitals. So the last 2 years winners faced off in St. Louis, and the Capitals came away with the overtime victory. What did you make of the game?
First of all, I couldn't believe when I read yesterday that that hasn't happened. Back-to-back defending champions opening a season against each other hasn't happened in over 50 years.
Wow.
I was like, what? We should be doing this every year. I think it's a great idea. So I was super pumped for that game and to kind of see the St. Louis Blues open their season in front of their fans, who I got to experience firsthand last year, and how crazy and enthusiastic their fan base is. But it was a great game. Alex Ovechkin, of course, in mid-season form already. So it was a super fun game to watch. I think it was probably next to the Sharks and the Golden Knights, the second game last night that I was most excited to watch. And it lived up to the hype, that's for sure.
You know, Washington went through this last year, Jackie. Of course, it's tough. We know how tough it is already. But when you're when you have the bullseye and you make that long run and play hockey all the way to mid-June, it's tough the next year. And that Capitals team was just as loaded again last year. And we know how that all played out. It's hard to repeat. It's hard to follow up that body of work. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Of course, a lot of hoping that St. Louis has that lag as well, but just talk about what you think. The Blues obviously made that trade for Falk right before Carolina and Nashville played a preseason game here. What do you think? How do you think the Blues this season is going to play out for them?
I still think the Blues are a really solid team. I think last year, you know, we get so caught up in that they were in last place in January, and we kind of fail to mention that they certainly were way below expectations the first 3-4 months of last year. It just took them a long time to sort of live up to the bar that was set before the season started last year. So I do think the St. Louis Blues are legit. I think that they're a good team. My concern is the way that they play. They're such a physical team, and that wears the opponent down. We saw it work wonders in the postseason last year. It's part of the reason that they were the eventual Stanley Cup champions. But over the course of an entire season, after playing for so long last year, and then, you know, rightfully so, celebrating for 2 months over the summer, I just wonder if they can keep up that pace of play for the entire season and then compete for another Stanley Cup in the playoffs, should they make it. And I do think they will make the playoffs.
You know, everybody's identifying the Atlantic Division as kind of murder's row, especially very, very top-heavy with those big three. We also believe here in Nashville that the Central is another division that is loaded and has had a lot of success over the last, like, 5 years and very, very competitive. When you look around the Central right now, what do you see?
You know, I want to talk Preds, so let's talk about the Predators, because the Predators, I think, have had high expectations for years. And this year, I feel like, and maybe it's just me, you guys can let me know sort of what the tone is like where you're at. But from where I'm sitting, which is in New Jersey in a makeup room right now, I feel like people, just shooting it straight, boys. I feel like people aren't really talking about the Predators to the level that I'm used to seeing before the start of a season. And I think that might bode well for the Preds to kind of go into a season where people expect them to be good, but people aren't necessarily talking about the Predators as a Stanley Cup contender. And I think maybe that's actually a good thing for Nashville.
It's like you've been listening to the show, Jackie.
Yeah, I've been saying that. On that vibe.
I've been saying that. We've been talking about on the show for weeks that, look, like you said, you laid it out perfectly. Are they good? Absolutely. Are people picking them to possibly win the division 3 straight years? Yes. Are they a playoff team? People picking that? Yes. But you're right. The last 2 years, it's felt like Stanley Cup or bust, which is so incredibly difficult to live up to those expectations. And now that you don't have that same vibe, we've been saying it's probably going to play out well. And we use the Capitals as the example, right? It just, once they made some roster moves, and then nobody was really talking about the Capitals 2 years ago when they decided to finally break through and win it all.
Yeah, it's actually the perfect example, because when everyone finally gave up on the Capitals is when they figured it out and made it happen. So I'm excited to see what the Predators do. I'm excited to see Matthew Shain play his first regular season game as a member of the Predators. We can all, now this year, you know, it's the first year in a long time, we're not going to talk about, hey, Matthew Shain, could he go to the Predators? That's not going to be a story this year. What are you guys going to talk about?
Exactly.
We'll find something else. Don't worry.
Jackie Redmond is with us from the NHL Network. Jackie, before we go further, I don't know who is on the show with you today. I know eventually Stu Grimson will make his rotation up there. I'm wondering if the staff, including yourself, has ordered the Stu Grimson book yet, because I know that we got to get the book sales going.
Yeah, of course, of course. We're supporting the Grim Reaper big time. He's actually, I can't recall if it's today or tomorrow. I think it's today. We're actually going to sit down and talk to him about what people can expect from his book. So for all the Grim Reaper fans out there that are anticipating the contents of this novel, he's going to talk about that on NHL Now this week. So I'm excited to read it. He was still writing it, or put the finishing touches on it, during the Cup Final last year. So I've seen, you know, firsthand how hard he's worked on this book. And I know I'm biased, but, you know, he's one of the greatest dudes I've had the privilege of working with. And I think it's going to be a really, really interesting and well-written collection of stories from his experience in the National Hockey League. But he was legit, you know, going to his hotel room, writing, you know, editing chapters in the midst of a crazy Cup Final. So he's put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the book.
Well, we agree with everything you said about him. He does a fantastic job for you guys. We're excited for him. So, Jackie, let's talk about the team that sort of is getting a lot of the attention because of what they've done. Actually, a couple teams I want to ask you about, but let's start with Colorado, because that seems to be the team that is the team that everybody seems to be jumping on in terms of the team that they think is going to make a leap just because of how well they played in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, the hype train is real for the Avs, hey?
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, whoa, 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 we got to wait for Mikko, like, if he doesn't start the season. But now, of course, that's taken care of, so that's a mute point. But I think the hype is deserved. I think they've earned that. They're a very exciting team to watch. But I do think that they're young, so I think they're going to have a fantastic season. But I think, you know, expectations and pressure and you know, predictions are a funny thing, and I think they affect different people different ways. I mean, we just talked about it with the Predators, right? Going into a season where people maybe aren't calling them a Cup contender. It'll be interesting to see how the Avs, who have a lot of young talent on that roster, handle sort of the pressure of being called a Cup contender, because there are people out there that are saying the Colorado Avalanche could win the Cup this year. That's a lot to live up to, you know, for a Cale Makar, who obviously came into the league late last year and made an incredible first impression. But I just think pressure is a funny thing, and I'll be curious to see how the Avs handle that when they hit, you know, a rough patch of the season, as every team does over the course of the year.
We were looking at a poll in The Athletic, not that they're the only one that's out there. I'm sure you could go to numerous websites. But the consensus was that the favorite in the West is Vegas. And you were mentioning how excited you were to watch that game. That rivalry is really growing about as fast a rate as you can possibly grow, Vegas against San Jose. But Vegas certainly looked sharp last night to start it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They deserve the credit and the hype that they're getting as well. I will say, and I love Marc-Andre Fleury. He's one of my favorite people. He's a fantastic goaltender. But, again, we're going into a season where his workload looks like it's going to be pretty heavy. And I think if you look at the Blues and the Caps, our last two Stanley Cup champions, you know, their goaltenders haven't had to play 65 games in the regular season before going into the postseason. And for Marc-Andre Fleury, who's certainly capable of that workload, I just wonder if that could affect them come playoff time. They're definitely a playoff team. They look like they're going to be the best team in the West. But we had this conversation on NHL Now yesterday, and I think, yes, Vegas could be the team that comes out of the West. But I think the West is up for grabs. I think there's a lot of teams that could take a big step forward this year. So it'll be interesting to see. But for Vegas, I'm going to be a little concerned about Fleury's workload. Just a little.
And Cody Glass scores in his NHL debut, the first pick of the Golden Knights. Gets his first goal last night. We're talking to Jackie Redmond from the NHL Network. And I want to stick with that game for a second, because it came out that Erik Karlsson was a late scratch for the San Jose Sharks for what they're calling a personal matter. Coach Peter DeBoer didn't say that he'd be ready to go for the home opener or any of that, or when the team plays again on Friday. What do you make of that situation? Because they paid Karlsson a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start by saying I hope whatever is going on with him, I hope that everything's okay. I hope his family's okay, and that it's nothing, you know, too serious. But I think, you know, the Sharks are a team that I think is vulnerable, really vulnerable going into this year. You know, they lost some key players to their lineup. Erik Karlsson, as you just mentioned, you know, they paid him a lot of money to be there, and they need him for a full season to compete. He's a big part of their lineup. So if he's out for an extended period of time, that just increases my concern for the Sharks, because I'm kind of heading into the season already kind of weary of what I'm expecting from them, which is crazy to say when you look at how deep they went into the postseason last year. But that's just how I feel about them. There's just something about the Sharks that I can't fully buy into.
When you look at the East, because obviously we pay attention to the West here in Nashville, but with the Eastern Conference, is this Tampa's to lose, or do you think Toronto, another team, are they going to have something to say about that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I still think Tampa is the best team in the East, but I don't know how they're going to respond to what happened last year. It's what they did last year was so ridiculous that I don't know if they're going to be that dominant again. And when the playoffs come, I don't think anyone's really going to fully believe in the Tampa Bay Lightning until they go all the way and actually do it. And the Boston Bruins are certainly still a very good team, but they went all the way to June last year. They got as close as you can possibly get to winning a Stanley Cup without winning it. And their core is aging. So I'm thinking the Boston Bruins might actually take a step back, and the Washington Capitals could be a team that contends for the Cup this year. I like the Caps. I think they could be a team that represents the East in the Cup final, and maybe they win two Cups in 3 years.
Well, and they battled last night to get the win in overtime, so that's a very good pick. So who knows how that that will turn out. But I do want to ask you, too, about Dustin Byfuglien and the situation in Winnipeg. You know, they were able to get those guys re-signed that were restricted free agents, so now they're with the team. But Buff remains out, considering retirement, or who knows what's going on. But what are your thoughts on Dustin Byfuglien?
Well, I think you just, you know, said the perfect phrase that applies to the Winnipeg Jets this year. What the heck is going on? Like, what happened to the Winnipeg Jets? I mean, their blue line has been pretty much completely demolished. And with Big Buff, you know, out possibly contemplating retirement, that's a huge blow to a Jets team that even with him in the lineup, I was already saying could be a bubble team this year, which is crazy to think because they just went to the conference final 2 years ago. So I honestly don't have a whole lot of faith in the Jets this year, even with Bufflin in their lineup, should he come back. But with him out, I kind of honestly think the Winnipeg Jets are not a playoff team. Like, if we're talking bubble, I think they're on the outside looking in.
Oh, we will have you on more then, Jackie, after that prediction.
Well,
we'll go on and schedule our next interview. We can make you a weekly.
You look at their blue line, right? And it's like, I don't want to take anything away from what the Jets have done the last couple of years, because 2 years ago they were a Stanley Cup. Actually, heading into last year, people were like, this team could win a Stanley Cup.
Sure.
But that window for them has closed, in my opinion, so quickly that I don't even, to go back to the beginning of our conversation, I don't know how to compute it. I don't understand how it happened so quickly, but their blue line is made up of mostly guys where they've got to have career years and everything has to go right for them to sort of compete in their division. And on top of that, you know, Connor Hellebuck, who 2 years ago looked out of this world, you know, came back down to earth last year. Who's he going to be this year? I'm not sure. Probably somewhere in the middle. But with what's happened to their blue line, they need Connor Hellebuck to be the Hellebuck that he was 2 years ago. So I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that the Jets are going to make the playoffs this year. And on yesterday's show, we were talking about, you know, playoff teams from last year that we don't think are going to make it and teams from last year that missed that we think are going to make it. And for me, the Jets are that team in the West that made it last year to the postseason, and I just don't think they're going to make it this year.
And we think alike on a lot of stuff. Jackie, thank you so much for the visit. We look forward to it. We'll talk to you throughout the course of the season, and, of course, we'll be watching today starting at 3 p.m. Central. Thanks for doing this.
Always a good time, guys. Happy opening night for you guys.
Yes, thank you very much. That is Jackie Redmond, NHL Network, and NHL Now will be on today at 3 p.m. Central. Hope a lot of you check it out. You can visit NHLNetwork.com for your local channel listings. We will come back with more here live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, Predators and Wild tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Got time, 12:45, we will draw a winner. You just need to come in here and register to win. We've got a registration box. Fill out your name, your info, put it in the box, and at 12:45, we will draw a lucky winner, and you'll be headed right here at Bridgestone Arena tonight to watch the Predators open up their season against the Minnesota Wild. You don't have to be present to win, but you do have to be present to walk in here and fill out your registration slip. So
yes.
That's all you have to do.
And you can say hi.
And then come in here. You can say hi. You can take a picture.
You know, you can
do whatever you want.
You can take a picture, do a wave. If we're talking, you know, don't like walk up and start talking because we're talking.
Can't hear you.
Yeah.
Can't hear you.
Yeah. And then, but you know, wave.
And they've got burger and beer special.
Yeah.
$12.50.
Or 50.
Or is it 50 cent?
50.
Is it 50 cent?
50 cent. Yeah. We just need to move on.
Skillsy will stop by here at 11:30. We'll have Hal Gill plop down at the table. Silly underdog picks at high noon. Got a lot of things to get into. Guys, has anything changed on your front when it comes to this Titans-Bills game? We certainly have talked about it some this week and how important, vitally important this game is considering the entire division is at 2-2. Indianapolis looks like they're probably going to – I know it's tough to do this in the NFL, but they're at KC Sunday night. I think that's a loss. That puts the Colts at 2-3. Houston,
I don't know,
probably
– the Lions gave KC a game, so
– I'm past
well,
the
point.
That
was at Detroit, though. Yeah. This is the Chiefs right. At home against Indy. Right. I think that's –
Would you have said that about the Bucs going to the Rams?
No, you're right. I know.
I mean, I would have said that. It's like, well, that's a loss for the Bucs.
You're right.
I would have said that.
Houston's at home against the Falcons. By the way, dare I say it? Falcons lose? Like, is that it for them? It's like,
Which is why maybe they'll play great and
that's enough,
do everybody
right?
a
You're
solid
right.
and beat
But
the
Houston's
Texans.
Coming off a horrible game
yes,
at
they,
home
they look-
against Carolina. So, you know, there's Jacksonville is in Carolina to take on the Panthers. So this is, as we know, it's a critically important game, especially a home game. You can't keep dropping home games. The good news for the Titans is While they've been inconsistent, they haven't been inconsistent at home. Yeah, they dropped the home opener against Indy, but over this little stretch of last three, 4 years, they've been very good at home.
They have been good at home, and you hope that trend continues. As you guys have pointed out, though, the trend around the league is it doesn't really matter whether you're home or road, it seems.
No,
like.
the road teams
are doing really well.
Yeah. Very well this year.
That being said, you have to hope that this team is to a point where you can exploit matchups, that you're deep enough to do it. But this is the classic game that at the time the schedule came out, you said, okay, this is a game that you circle and you say, Bills at home, you got to have that one. But the Bills are a lot better than we thought. But with the drop-off to Barkley, and I do think there is a drop-off, I think you like your chances, although they do have Frank Gore, who seems to have a great game every single week. I think
amazing.
In 2025, Frank Gore will have a good game against the Titans at age 50. Well, I mean,
Didn't he have over 100 yards rushing last week against New England?
He played great. He's still playing well.
No. It's unbelievable.
So you can't sleep on him if they haven't figured out. But the offense for the Bills does look like if you make them drive the field, you like your chances of holding them down, which is the Titans have, as Mike Vrabel called it, and I think it's an accurate word, Brett Kern is a weapon. Playing the field position game with him is a good way to play. What was the average drive start of the Falcons? The 16-yard line?
Yep.
If you make teams drive that far and you don't turn the ball over, you're putting yourself in a really good spot. Your offense does not have to light the world on fire. I like their chances if they can do those things again.
I was trying to find a stat about the Titans' defense, but they're playing the way that we all hoped that they would. And when you look at the rankings,
especially if they had a few red zone stops mixed in, I think their stats, their numbers would look even better.
Here you go. Fourth in the NFL in points per game allowed, sixth in third down percentage, tied for fifth in sacks with 13 on the year. So, I mean, you look at that and those specific categories, I mean, you're feeling pretty good about this defense right now. And I would say that over the course of the first four games, you're just seeing them with each game get better and better. Now, you know, do they have hiccups? Of course. I mean, that's a part of the game. But I've liked what I have seen so far, and I think that this defense is starting to get to the point where they can cover up some of the deficiencies of the offense and be able to help them win some games, and which is kind of what we were all hoping for all along. But I like the matchup, especially if Barkley's going to be under center for the Bills. I really like that matchup against the Titans' defense.
I thought Tim Hasselbeck had some great insights on Allen and Barkley and the difference between the two. And Josh Allen, I agree 100%. Physically, he looks like he can make some plays, but he also makes more big mistakes. Barkley, not as physically imposing, even though he had a lot of hype coming out of it. I did not know the backstory there, that he didn't play any other sports. How often do we talk to people and say, you got to play more than one sport? So he went the other way, and it's gotten him to the NFL, but he's not a super toolsy kind of guy, right? He's a smart player. He's not going to maybe make big mistakes, but you hope you can contain the offense with him under center. If that's, I guess Allen's still in the protocol. I guess he could be released from the protocol and play. We don't know.
I mean, I'm not ruling out that he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that maybe it's a game time.
Well, we'll need to, tomorrow. We'll know, tomorrow, right? Yeah. Right. We'll know what, if he practices.
Yeah.
That's different. If he's out tomorrow, then usually Friday is the indicator.
Friday's the day.
That's the indicator. You go from their practice, and you know, usually, for the most part, it didn't work for when Steve McNair was here, but for the most part, if you don't practice on Friday, then
you have a good idea.
You're not going to play. If you practice, there's probably a really good shot you're playing.
Let's also go back to last year. If Josh Allen had not played against the Titans, and it was Nathan Peterman playing, do the Titans win that game? I just think there's no way that the Bills could have beaten the Titans with Nathan Peterman starting.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen can make he made a difference in that game.
Yes.
He didn't play great in that game, but he made a couple plays, right? He just, he ran it a couple of times. He had a couple of key throws at key times. So he is an upgrade from your basic guy, and I think Barkley is probably a little bit better than Peterman, fair to say.
Yep. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
What's the biggest plus in having Luan back in the building?
Well, anytime you bring back a Pro Bowl type player, that's going to help, no doubt. And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, just through the few meetings and just what we've been through these first few hours with him, he's excited. And you can tell that he's got a little juice to him. And I think when you bring that type of player into the offense with some juice and excitement, it's going to kind of carry that over to other guys as well.
Whoops.
That's great.
Whoops.
Oops. You talk about something maybe. That the minute he said it, people were just, they could not type fast enough. Like,
well, then he said it again.
He said juice.
He is juiced to come back.
You already said he said juice. Get it out there on Twitter.
Isn't it crazy, though, that word.
I know.
We immediately right. go, I mean, think about
right.
it. What he said, there's nothing.
Nothing wrong with
right,
that.
Right, but we.
We know what he meant.
The association of that word, right?
Yes.
It changes the mindset for a lot of people.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Because, I mean, you
in
say
sports,
that,
it happens a lot. Pete Weber has an entire reel of things that are said that make total sense. You know what they're saying, but it can be taken another way.
Right.
Right?
Well, so. Peter
Mariota should blame baseball for that.
Baseball, right. It's baseball's fault.
They hatched that mindset, right?
It's always baseball's fault.
Doesn't Peter Laviolette
that was
say,
funny.
Like, the guys are juiced or...
Well,
I know he says
Juicy Soros, everybody, yeah. Every single guy and coach on the team calls him Juice.
Right. Right. So, look, it's a phrase that gets used, and Marcus Mariota, maybe a poor choice of words, but it's okay.
It's okay. We can all laugh about it. Now
don't,
that it's over.
Don't at me saying that I'm coming after Marcus because he had a poor choice of words. So.
Just don't let it happen again, and then, you know.
After the game.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, Marcus
could
do
today.
It again. Well, he could do it. Marcus can do it all he wants. It's kind of funny. But as long as Taylor Lewan does not have any, you know, other incidents like this.
In all seriousness, does he
hopefully
have
it's in
temper?
The rear view.
He
rear
look, view. You know, we've already seen the clips. Him out there running around, like he's ready. He's ready.
He's ready.
And Mike Vrabel already said he gave, you know, he asked for a hug, and it was a quick hug. And, you know, he's ready to get back. But in all seriousness, does he have to make sure he, I don't want to say dials it down, but, I mean, he's got to be careful that he's not just goes out there and just an explosion. He's got to.
You're right.
He hasn't played this season. He can't just go out there and. Come right out of the gates, you know, at the Kentucky Derby, and run as fast as you can, right? You're going to have to pace yourself a little
you
bit.
You got to pace yourself, and he does have a track record of getting too amped up, right?
Right.
Many times. You can run the reel of that throughout his career. So checking the emotions is important. I thought about that a lot with some of the pitchers, right? Sean Manaea, Max Scherzer is a guy that always, he gets jacked up on the mound. I think sometimes when the situation really gets big, and that crowd, he needs to dial it down a little bit. Taylor Lewan, I think, is one of those guys.
Yep.
I think the Predators tonight, the first 10 minutes of the game, they're going to be jacked up. I think this is one of those where you got to adjust your dial so you try to find that right groove of not getting too jacked up to where you trip three guys and all of a sudden you're 3-on-5 just because you're too pumped.
Yeah. That is a serious. We've talked to people before. That
it does happen.
Coaches and players. I mean, it does happen. It's a serious thing. I know a lot of people out there chuckling, like, "Come on, you can't be too amped up." No, actually, you can. I know enough conversations we've had with coaches and players, whether it's current or former, they have said, "Yeah, we had to monitor that, especially, you know, a lot of times in a big game when you have to wait all day and it's a late start, right? And by the time you get to that." You've already exerted so much energy just to get to that point, and then now it's finally here, and it's like, oh, maybe I should have been saving a little bit of this. Now we got to go out there and perform. But so it is a real thing, and I agree with you because it's going to be a great atmosphere, and they're going to be ready to get after it. I mean, Matt Duchene is a guy I think, you know, I mean, it's finally here.
Yeah.
And he is one that is going to – that first shift, man, he is going to want – to make an impact, and but there is something you have to be careful.
Does he continue the trend? You know,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
We've had the trend.
Knock on wood.
I don't know if the streak is intact anymore, but I don't think it is. But there was a streak for a long time of
a newly acquired player
would score in his first game. So does he light the lamp?
Hey, if there was anybody that could keep that streak going, I think it would be him.
Yeah. And can you imagine this build? I mean, this building's already going to be the roof about to blow off. But if he's scores a goal or the first goal, I mean, this thing is going to just be loud, playoff loud.
It will be loud indeed. That'll do it for hour number one here on Darren, Donnie, and Chase. Remember, come down here, sign up and win tickets, plus hang out, $12.50 burger and beer. But at 12:45, we will draw a lucky winner's name, and you will be in the building tonight to watch the Predators and the Wild. Hour number two coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.